Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, the great and legendary Dennis Quaid is going to join us in this half of the show. Good guy, and boy, IMDb Dennis Quaid, and see how many projects that guy's been involved with for the last, 40 years? 40 years plus. Anyway, good guy, good conversation. First, Castrol EDGE, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol EDGE with fluid titanium transforms under pressure. Keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing. Power, man. Three times stronger, fool, than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It's the EDGE. It always exceeds the toughest industry standards. It's new and improved. It is Castrol EDGE.
One night only. Laughs with Bald Brian. A night of stand-up comedy benefiting Stupid Cancer, a charity dedicated to helping young adults with cancer. Featuring Larry Miller, Dana Gould, Greg Fitzsimmons, Joel McHale, Brad Williams, Kyle Dunnigan, Jeff Cesario, Dr. Drew, and Adam Carolla. With your host, Brian Bishop.
Hey, this is Brian. I'm so excited and proud to be hosting this incredible fundraiser benefiting Stupid Cancer. They've been there for young adults like me who were diagnosed with cancer, and I'm thrilled to be able to pay it forward. If you love comedy, and if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you do, then please don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to laugh and give back to this great organization.
Saturday night at the Avalon Theater in Hollywood. Only a few tickets left, so get yours now at laughswithbaldbrian.com. It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Adam, the wife was out this weekend, so I had a double feature last night with the dogs of Cobra and Con Air. And here's my question. If you could get one IMDb profile mentioned, would you rather be Con number one from Con Air or Killer number one from Cobra? That puzzled me as well.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Basically, he's saying, which one of your 13-year-old twins would you throw into a wood chipper?
Sure.
It's not answerable.
Decisions.
It
decisions.
Just isn't answerable. Those are such fine films. The only two movies Dennis Quaid hasn't been in. Cobra. Boy, did you miss the Cobra
boat,
brother.
There's always Cobra, too, man.
Stallone is working on it. Don't think I'm kidding. And then, of course, Con Air. Dennis Quaid is here. Jared Goodstadt is here. Good to meet you, Jared.
Hello. Hi, nice to meet you.
It's a podcast, Bear and a Banjo, new episodes Thursday on Apple Podcasts, hosted by Dennis. So explain to us how the podcast works, please.
Well, this is a true fiction of the history of American music, told with these two people who may be legends, maybe real, maybe not, the Bear and Banjo, who show up at certain seminal moments in American musical history.
You have a strong connection. I know you both have a strong connection with music. You do, Dennis, with music. Have you been playing your whole
since
life?
Since I was 12, yeah. Been playing guitar.
Sorry, Jared, what is your musical background?
So I'm Jingle Jared, the king of all jingles. If you watch any American TV shows, from Real Housewives to shows about pregnant teenagers to The Voice to Pawn Stars and Pickers, that background music is from my company called Jingle Punks. And kind of in a weird way is how this whole project kicked off, because I was drunk at a bar and bumped into Justin Bieber and told him that I didn't know who I was talking to, but I was just bragging about myself. Mm-hmm. And it turns out I'm talking to Justin Bieber. And then he's like, oh, you should meet my songwriter, this guy Pooh Bear. Mm. Next thing I know, I meet up with this guy Pooh Bear who's written – I should have Googled him before I met up with him the next day, but I found out he had written all of Bieber's big songs. He had written Peaches and Cream for 112. He's sort of the king of pop, like – written Despacito, Where Are You Now, What Do You Mean, 10,000 Hours.
The remix of Despacito.
Yes, the remix. And I'm like, we start working together, and this project was a folk project that kind of seemingly came out of nowhere. We started making music for Roots, the miniseries. We did the end credits together, and we just kept on making song after song after song. And eventually, I was like, what the hell are we going to do with all these songs? At which point, I also drunk at a bar meet T-Bone Burnett, and he starts saying, wow, this should be the formation of a project.
What bar are you going to?
I was actually at Craig's, so it wasn't a bar.
Oh, of course you are.
I stumbled out of Craig's into the Nice Guy.
I'm glad finally we found a cheerleader for booze, because it gets a bad rap.
No, this is all
really
good
does.
Things
Marty,
happen.
It loosens tongues. Yeah. It makes people feel good about what they're getting into.
Last weekend, it jarred a memory. I was laughing, because last weekend I was in Utah. I was playing a couple of shows. I told you guys that it was like at a sports bar and a bunch of middle-aged white chicks piled in because they're going to see like Kenny Chesney at the whatever dome up the street. And they met at this place to have some drinks. And they're there, though. They're there for about an hour. And at some point, they're like, you, Adam Carolla, get over here. And I'm like, over there. And then we're posing for pictures. And the other chicks are laughing. And our turn, we're getting pictures. And the chick said to me, we saw you when you came in. We decided to leave you alone. But then we got drunk.
That's how it goes. That's what liquor does.
That's an honest answer.
But
yes.
Everyone always says, and you shouldn't mix business with liquor, but all these amazing things seemingly happened out of nowhere by me staying out extremely late and drinking a lot. So the third person in the equation, it is a very esoteric and hard to explain project, which only makes sense actually after you tune in and listen to it. And even the people who bought it from us were like, this makes no sense, but let's do it. But at T-Bone, when you get a call from him every now and then, and he says, hey, there's someone I want you to meet at my house, you could get an intro to anyone from Elton John to the creator of True Detective. So one day I'm sitting at home having a martini on my couch. He's like, come on by. You should meet
sure,
this person.
Sure, it's 8 a.m. It's Tuesday.
Have a cocktail.
And I go over, and Dennis is in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, I know who that is. That's Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, so, I just recorded my our first album, actually, my band The Sharks, and facilitated by T-Bone. I've known T-Bone for... Well, one of the first people I met when I came out to L.A. in 75, he was helping my brother for the audition of Buddy Holly. And Jared and I got together, and we've become partners.
Randy
in the last
was
year,
auditioning for Randy? For Buddy Holly?
For Buddy Holly, yeah.
And
he's been great in it, too, by the way.
That went to Busey, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Busey... he doesn't like to bring it up. Oh, wait a minute. That's all he brings up. Grab an acoustic guitar. He'll grab an inflatable acoustic guitar off a wall and try to play a Buddy Holly song. I've done that with him.
Yes, all right. I have too.
So who's cooler in the cool drop a name deep cut music department? Like if you went, oh, I was just hanging with T-Bone Burnett or Ry Cooder? Who, like, if you want a cool, deep name drop music, cool name, Rye or T-Bone?
I don't know. Ry Cooder did the Long Riders with several other names I could drop, including my brother back in the day. But T-Bone's T-Bone. Yeah. Very interesting.
Uh-oh, that means douchebag where I come
from. He's had a very interesting career, and he was the... In fact, his first job as a music director was on Great Balls of Fire.
Wow. Oh, that was your movie, right?
Where
right.
he was either fired or quit.
He quits a lot of things.
It was a fired or quit
T-Bone's
thing.
T-Bone's first thing.
Yeah. And first thing doing it as music, you know, what you wound up doing with Brother Where Art Thou.
Yeah.
And,
He's
a...
He's pretty cool.
He's an artist, man.
Yeah, like I would say, look, Ry Cooder is Paris, Texas. So I'm like, that's really cool, and that's why one day I'm hoping someone will call me up and go, "Oh, make a score just like that," where you just take your guitar and do a whole film.
Oh yeah.
But T-Bone is the reason. Like when I'm just yesterday during the evacuation of Brentwood, that I'm sure the rest of the world is really concerned about. We ended up just seeing a whole bunch of Hollywood people at the farm shop there, and T-Bone was there with his wife, and I was like, oh, I don't want to intrude. I sat down with him for about an hour just talking about like music and projects we're going to work, and I'm like, man, that's like 1 degree away from Dylan. Like, really, like, so for me, I think it's T-Bone.
So how'd the evacuation go? There you are, it's 7 a.m., you're drinking gin out of a dog bowl, and all of a sudden the radio kicks in.
I was evacuated.
Really?
Yeah, I got evacuated out of Napa the night before. Was doing a gig up there, and we got evacuated out of there. Drove 10 hours, got home, and got evacuated out of my house after 2 hours sleep.
Rich man, rich man.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like champagne. The rest of America relates.
Champagne.
Yeah. I will say I was in the blackout
How am I going to return that rental Cadillac?
And the big difference in New York was all of a sudden water has cost like $800. But at Farm Shop, they lowered the prices. They're like, oh, come on in. There's...
see Katrina survivors? We have our own
hardships
to get over as well.
I never thought I'd be having this
drive
conversation.
Drive from Malibu to the Four Seasons in Beverly Hills was filled with pitfalls, but we made it.
Godspeed.
No empathy here, buddy.
Yeah, let's delete that whole last segment. Can we delete that?
I only know Ry Cooter. I found out about Ry Cooter probably when he started. I've always been a huge John Hyatt fan. Mm. So when John Hyatt, I think Ry Cooter got together for some band.
And Buena Vista Social Club is how a lot of people know him. It was at the same time, it was Buena Vista and Oh Brother were the two. T-Bone always says that Americans actually have good taste in music, but they have to be tricked into it. Mm-hmm. So that's really, most people know You Are My Sunshine and Down to the River to Pray. And I would say that on the world music side, people do like world music, but at the time it was the one, you know, Cuban CD that my parents probably had, and that was everybody's entry point into discovering other sounds as opposed to whatever was out at the time. Lionel Richie.
Dennis, you brought up your brother Randy a couple of times, so I figure we should ask about him. Is he in the country?
Yes,
is he wanted by the feds? What's he doing?
I don't have no idea who he's wanted by. State, local, or county.
Or otherwise.
I have no idea. I think it's died down.
Is he doing all right? Is he living a normal life?
I had no communication with him for...
How long has it been?
Well, for at least 10 years.
Were you guys close as
Yes,
young?
We were extremely close growing up.
Is this something where you just assume he needs medication?
Randy, I just don't want to conjecture.
Well,
I just have to love him from afar, basically.
If it makes any difference, my sister didn't crack my top 25 of favorite actresses. So I know what it's like to smart. At least you got that going for you. Lauren, I'm sorry if you're listening, sweetie, but you're not in the top 25. Where'd you guys grow up?
We grew up in Houston, Houston, Texas, or West Louisiana, you might want to call it.
Other than self-imposed, if you had a break from acting since the later 70s to now, have you ever had 18 months off?
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah,
have?
I sure have, when I was in rehab.
Oh.
He's the hardest working guy.
And thereafter, yeah.
The amount of things he does in the course of a day is actually insane. During the time that we were working on the podcast, you did... The Intruder, The Christmas Thing, the Billy Bob Thornton one, the Midway, insurance commercials.
Yes.
And you played like 100 gigs.
Yes.
And somehow found time to do the podcast.
There's a few other things there. I know there is, but I just can't think of
them. The Denisance is real.
Oh, and Merry Happy Whatever.
Oh, yeah, Netflix.
Yeah,
and by the way, congratulations on the new wife, because I was watching TMZ.
I'm not married yet.
Oh, you're not?
I am engaged.
Oh, engaged.
He's affianced.
Yes, I am engaged.
I watch TMZ religiously, because...
don't we all?
Yeah, it's like it's...
Yeah, right.
It's got stars on it, and they had a picture, you two walking down the beach, and your newly engaged, I guess, wife was in a two-piece bikini, and you were in your traditional one-piece. And
singlet.
Would you look at this picture?
It's a
I was like,
couple.
Oh, my God.
It's a healthy couple.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got two guns and a six-pack. I hope I don't get pulled over.
And your fiance looks amazing as well, and I thought, damn. And everyone was kind of like, well, he's so much older than her, but it's like, yeah, but look at him. He's got his shirt off. Yeah. He doesn't look like Aristotle Onassis. He looks like an action figure.
Well, besides being as beautiful as she is, she's an incredible person.
I'm sure she's fine.
Yeah, she's getting her PhD in economics at Combe School in UT.
Well, what?
Not home economics, by the way.
I want to focus on your aesthetic. How do you do something to stay in amazing shape? Is it all
Bang's 20-year-olds?
27. Give me a break.
Watch it.
Do you
it's a compliment?
Do you work out feverishly? Are you on some elixir?
I've always worked out in my life, and I'm extremely vain, and probably I'm vain. That's what it. But I ride the bike a lot, and I lift a bit, and you know?
Please don't tell me that because of that you eat anything you want all the time.
I won't go down that line. That's like being at the farmhouse over there in Brentwood again with all those.
Yeah, we don't want to hear about it.
Okay.
By
too
the
much.
By the way, in case anyone cares, I work out every day. It's not working.
Oh, Chris says we went on a sandwich run for Dennis, right?
Yes.
The boys.
Yeah, and, we're on a sandwich run for him, and we're also getting him a Coca-Cola, so I don't know how he's doing.
Oh. Mm.
Mm.
Is
it a sloppy
this.
Joe? What do you get?
Yeah, what'd you get?
I didn't come here to talk about it. You're the one who brought it up.
All right, so Midway, that's coming out on Friday. I'm excited for that.
Me too, actually. We had just had the premiere in Pearl Harbor for the Navy there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at the spot. And it's an incredible movie. Roland Emmerich, who did Day After Tomorrow and Independence Day. I mean, he's perfect for this.
Oh, yeah, your brother famously in Independence Day, right?
Yes.
Right.
He saved the world.
Yeah.
Is that up yours?
Yes.
Yes, it was such a great such a great role.
That was the last words, right?
That's where his last words. We didn't see him die. He could come back for the sequel.
So the music, where are we at with the music? I mean, everyone is saying our bands have to tour now. They're not really selling albums. They're doing the singles, but they're touring. I am telling you, the fondest memories or the most triggered in a positive way from a happy memory you'll ever have is listening to an old album that you got in high school or when you were young and not hearing the hit you bought it for, but hearing the fourth song on B-side that you also grew to love,
right,
but you didn't know in
right.
advance and you never hear on the radio.
Yeah, like Nashville Skyliner. And I'm like that with all the notes and everything that go on with it. This is our podcast, Barrett and Banjo, believe is the first time that a podcast has ever been used to launch a record.
Yeah.
You know, it's backwards. But it makes perfect sense. And in a way, with our story and everything, the way it unfolds in our podcast, it's very much like reading the liner notes and having that experience
with
the entire
notes.
Record. Sort of like Redheaded Stranger or Sgt. Pepper. That was,
the simple reading of the liner notes.
Nowadays, it's weird. Like when we finished the album came first, then the stories around it. So myself, Pooh Bear, T-Bone, and at one point we got together with Bob Dylan, who contributed original lyrics to the final song in the project, played it literally for every label in town. No. They're like, what are we going to do with an Americana record with Pooh Bear on it? Or what are we going to do with this, you know, really esoteric thing? It wasn't until we actually sold the podcast into iHeart, and there are partners on the podcast thing, that labels came back around after reading headlines saying, oh, releasing record as elevated narrative story. And we just closed our record deal with Empire, which is traditionally actually like a hip-hop label out of San Francisco. But they're taking a real risk on this thing, and they're hoping that it turns into a new disruption point for the music business. In the past, you had to make a record, get the whole building behind it, tour it forever. You know, have people – every album was like a day one start. Like I remember a few years ago, Green Day had taken a break between Dookie and a few other things, and they were playing for American Idiot small venues to rebuild the – because people just go away. You know?
Right.
And that's why the frequency of music and how people discover it nowadays is getting more and more challenging, especially when you have the Drakes and the Post Malones releasing music every week like it's content.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're trying to, in our own way, create this new model. The new podcast episode every Thursday, new song goes to all the DSPs on Friday, and we're taking the soundtrack and remixing it with popular artists. We have a Zac Brown cover of one of our songs. So we're sort of inventing a new version of the music business, and in a weird way, just us getting together, we both love music a lot. You know, it's very challenging to have people define you more than the thing you actually are. Like, I'm Jingle Jarrett, so they think of me as the jingle guy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people think of Dennis as an actor, but Dennis has this huge connection with music that he took piano lessons from Jerry Lee Lewis. Like, how many people have that on their resume?
Well, it's like, you know, and also podcast, it's actually not a bad way to launch a movie as well. You're mm-hmm. telling a story, you know, and there's a lot of things are scripted. I mean, old ideas come back around, and the radio dramas and plays of the 40s and 30s where people would gather around their radio. It was an experience for everyone. And, If you take scripts out of the drawer, the podcasts are relatively inexpensive to produce, and they're a great way to familiarize an audience with a story and to build
the brand.
It's a pitch.
Well, you know, you're speaking to the choir because we've been at it coming up on 11
years. You were a pioneer. A year and a half ago, I really didn't know what a podcast was.
Yeah. I mean, you
were
should.
There first, though, like really, like, and now everyone's saying it's the hottest word in media, but it feels like you were like planted the flag first.
I was maybe not the first podcast, but first off, very early on, we were doing it, but maybe if I was to get credit, it would be to kind of take the radio format and move it over to the computer. I sort of realized that. A podcast, one guy talking to himself for an hour is fine, but I had this idea that why not just make it a radio show that's on the internet, and then you could be syndicated. You know, it's such a weird thing. When I started doing Loveline, we were on in one market, K-Rock, and then we went to 91X in San Diego, and we'd keep, like, adding markets, but people who are outside, you know, be in Chicago and Boston, things like that. And eventually, I don't know, we got up to 100 and whatever markets, but you'd have to add a market. Nobody could listen unless you added a market. And this is like being, podcast is like being syndicated everywhere and nowhere simultaneously.
Yes, right.
Like it's either nobody's heard it or people who live in different countries on different continents. Like, I mean, I ran into a guy that came to the show in Utah. He's from Chile. And he was like, I like your podcast.
Wow.
You know,
well,
and
it's, like, it's growing exponentially every year. I mean, it's four times more of the audience than there last year. And my kids and my 11-year-olds and certainly the millennials, they want, that's the way they watch or listen now.
Yeah, everything's on demand.
On their screens, they're quite comfortable with it.
Well, think about when you guys and we were all growing up, like how many shows on TV you would just watch because you didn't really like it.
There were
like
only three channels.
Literally somebody moving on this box in front of me.
I watched every episode of Full House and Saved by the Bell. I don't even think I like those shows.
No, you don't.
At
they're
all.
They're not
it just
good.
Was on.
No, I saw every episode of Land of the Lost. It's like, this is the worst TV show ever made. Although, I don't know, find the opening to that, because in terms of telling a story.
Oh, I like those.
When in the vein of Gilligan's Island.
That's expository.
I love the my dream. It's so funny because I even though I call myself the self-proclaimed king of jingles, we live in a world where they don't want the words anymore. So all I have is the Pawn Stars theme is the thing I could point to. But I choked at a party. I was with him and someone introduced me to John Stamos. And I'm like, oh, he's really into music. So I go, this jingle, Jared. Oh, why do they call you that? I'm the king of all TV jingles of all time. He goes, what do you got that I'd know? And I go, chips and guacamole. Did you write that? And I'm like,
watch
no.
Watch Pawn Stars sometime, and you'll hear it. You don't know what he did with this. I mean, it's like somebody picking up all the nickels and dimes on the floor. It adds up. You know what I mean?
We'll listen to
Jingle Schmutter business.
I'll play the beginning.
That's how this business started with all the carnies, by the way.
I'll play the beginning of Land of Loss, and you tell me if the lyrics do not completely tell the story of what's upcoming.
Right on.
Marshall, Will, and Holly. On a routine expedition, met the greatest earthquake ever known. It struck their mighty raft and plunged them down 1,000 feet below to the land.
To be fair, you know exactly what you're getting.
Wow, yeah. Exactly. What is it? It's like ILM over here.
Why?
It's like the dinosaur movie you were in.
Yes.
Not sure why the banjo was so predominant in this song, because it didn't seem to have anything to do with the
Jared
the
plays
theme.
A mean banjo,
you guys should cover
too,
this.
By the way.
You guys
I would
love
plays
to.
A mean banjo.
Maybe they
if you
do a
guys covered Land of the Lost, it'd bring back a lot of memories for a lot of folks.
By the way,
over
Bosom
40.
Buddies has a similar open where it explains, it's the longest explainer ever, and it's very complicated. It's like, they got kicked out of their apartment. It was rent controlled. Now they dress like women.
It needed explanation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
I'm trying to think of the ones.
Wasn't that the
Billy Joel?
Yeah,
My Life.
Say My Life. Yeah.
But it was like a bad cover of it. I don't think it was him.
Then there was like there would be TV shows like SWAT, where there were no lyrics, just a whole bunch of driving music and tons of action.
Yeah, and at the FBI, that was another one of those.
Right. Ambulance.
A-Team just explained it with a stern voiceover.
That's right.
Yeah. During the course of their duty, duly authorized team jumps into action. They may be called
the state militia
or the highway patrol.
I remember watching... I remember the A-Team. I remember being like 13 going, I've been in L.A. my whole life. Where's the underground? Is there an underground? I know in New York they have an underground. I feel like we have one here. All right. I'm going to, you guys think about who are, I want to hear, I'll tease it, but tell me a great band. Tell me a couple of great bands. Like, let's just
the
say,
The Doors.
Let's say rock and roll bands. Don't tell me yet, except for you said The Doors. Think of some rock and roll bands that you just think are great rock and roll bands, past, present, whatever. And I'll tell you guys about Tommy John. Tommy John, simply the best. I love these things. You know, it's like a few years ago, people don't know what a podcast was. Well, a few years ago, they didn't know what Tommy John was. But now it's a game changer. Proprietary fabrics that perform like nothing you've ever seen or worn before. If you don't love your first pair, you get a full refund with their best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. Soft, luxurious, feather-light, moisture-wicking, breathable fabrics. And you can go online and get them, or you just go to a store. They have 1,200. They're available at 1,200 retail locations across the country, including Nordstrom stores and nationwide. Give 3Fs, upgrade your underwear. That is fabric and fit and function. Tommy John, no adjustment needed. Right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam.
All right, you guys, think of any bands that... don't give me the Beatles, because everyone knows they're great. I want
The
some
Doors.
Deeper, I want some deeper cuts. I love The Doors, too, because they're weird.
Somebody because that... they're still relevant.
Doors?
Writing credit, they shared right from the very beginning. It's written by The Doors, no matter who wrote it.
Do you like weirder, like Crystal Ship, kind of deeper Doors cuts? Because I find that interesting.
Yeah, I really can get it. This is the End.
Yeah,
which
that.
Is, you know, in Apocalypse Now, incredible. But I still really just... we do Riders on the Storm, The Sharks, my band. We do Riders on the Storm and L.A. Woman back to back. It's 17 minutes of uninterrupted rock and roll.
Yeah.
And it's still just
Doors Live.
Hits me.
The double album was amazing. It reminds me of high school and all my friends.
It's weird. I couldn't.
Getting stoned.
I wasn't into The Doors when I was younger, and then I saw the movie, and then I read the book, and I'm not even a reader. Nobody here gets out alive.
I feel like it's a rite of passage for every teenager. Like, you're into it hard, like, when you first discover...
Everyone at The Doors' greatest hits.
Yeah.
And then Jim Morrison dies at 27. I mean, it was really only, they had 2 years where they were really known. And then it was over with. And they had some to release after his death, I think.
Yeah.
But... incredible.
I love the band, and I just saw Robbie Robertson speak yesterday at this summit. Truly, there's so many reasons why I love the band. You know, the Dylan of it all. He's also Robbie as a person. Robbie is just this amazing collaborator of all of American, this whole musical universe of the 70s, everything from Van, the Last Waltz. Just look at the map of
he's
places.
He's Canadian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of my
Levar
people.
Helm.
He's sort of a Canadian Jew.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
People see Scorsese's. What? Scorsese's Last Waltz.
Yeah, that was the band. Concert film.
Every time I sit down at the drums, I think of just like Levon.
Yeah.
As long as we're on the subject, so we had Matthew Modine in here just last week, a week and a half ago, whatever
he's
it was.
Dope.
We were remiss. He was a great guest. We were remiss to bring up Any Given Sunday, which of course Mr. Quaid starred in, also directed by
Oliver Stone. That's right. The Doors. I really enjoyed that movie and then just started listening to The Doors. I'll tell you, Doors, it's not all, you know, Break On Through is like almost like a punk rock song from the 60s. Yeah. It had a real punk rock drive to it. And if you think about how it picks up and all that, it really was sort of the Ramones before the Ramones. Mm-hmm.
They had trouble getting respect in New York, too, because they were a West Coast band. It was sort of like very beginnings of the East Coast, West Coast.
If you read that book, Please Kill Me by Legs McNeil, it shows you the connectivity between the Doors and like Iggy Pop, and like also at the time they were almost punk, but they were on the psychedelic side too.
Yeah, I mean they had a lead singer who didn't really play an instrument and had kind of a weird presence and voice and wasn't a traditional thing, which is kind of punk. Yeah. They're kind of counter everything.
And he was damned back to the
come out of improvisation quite a bit, which they were known for.
And if you listen, if you find Break On Through, it's very Green Day and very Ramones. Mm-hmm. Like it's and it ends, it sort of speeds up like traditional songs slow down at the end. Yeah. Punk songs kind of speed up at the end, right?
Whereas, you know, a lot of 60s music, in a way, doesn't hold up. And certainly the Doors, even the early 70s was, you know, when they really hit, they took all those themes of 60s music and just kind of turned it on its head, and there was a little evil in it, there was a little bad, you know, besides there was something
all
besides
the
rainbows and love
and
all the rest
dad.
Of that stuff.
I mean, why yeah. judging
yeah Killer on the Road,
we all have our bad days.
Yeah. I like his cover of Gloria on the Doors live. That's the best part. It's like Wooly Bully or Hang On. It's the best party song.
Right.
If you're playing in your parents' basement, it's just easy, you know, like to do.
Gotta spell it.
It's amazing.
All right. Shall we do, why don't we get into some news and you guys can hang out and crack wise. Yeah, in a weird way, I think the Doors sort of, in a weird analogous way, sort of like Lady Gaga started off wearing a meat suit and being all weird. And everyone's like, that chick's weird, but that chick's a great musician.
Right.
And in a way, the Doors were so weird that we forgot sonically good they were and like how creative they were. Because you think of that Jim Morrison, that's a weird hippie guy. But the music holds up, man.
It really holds up.
Yeah.
They were kids at UCLA, at least Jim and Robbie were, and who got put together, you know, and incredible story.
I still feel bad, speaking of Midway, I feel bad for Jim Morrison's dad. His dad was a rear admiral in the Navy.
Right.
It's like every press guy was like, my dad, he's dead.
Right.
Killed by an Indian. And his dad must have been home in Pensacola going, what? I'm fine. I'm a rear admiral. You should be bragging about me. Took a lot of hard work to get to rear admiral.
I was in the days of NAM, too, you know, where...
I think it must have been a weird...
Didn't fit with the image.
...thing with... Yeah,
and maybe some other personal reasons.
You have to protest the Vietnam War, and your dad's an admiral in the Navy. Yeah. Like, that's weird. Like, he's in the Gulf of Tonkin. And
I wish that Jim could have survived that incident. I think he would have been very different from the way we remember him today.
Born again.
You know, well, I don't know. Let's just say he would have broke on through the other side and found in that you don't really have to be miserable all the time in order to enjoy life.
I'm trying to think. I guess that'd be an interesting thing. You got Janis Joplin.
There are certain artists who definitely benefited from.
You got Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix.
You got Jim Morrison. You can only bring one back.
Don't forget Cass Elliott.
Oh, Mama Cass Elliott. She had some
Amy Winehouse.
She had some acting training.
Hendrix was so far ahead of his time for what he was doing.
Yeah. Hendrix would have been amazing to see what he would be doing now.
Yeah, that really, truly would.
It's like
I think he really would have changed music even more than he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kurt Cobain won at 27. Yeah. It's like that 27.
But those recordings are so perfect. Sometimes artists go on too long and it gets bad. You know, like, I don't, not to shit on certain artists.
Who do you wish had died?
I was hoping you would ask.
What happens?
We'll turn the mics off.
The Rolling Stones... don't die, but disco gets thrust upon them, and they're like, we got to put out a disco album, and then they have a bad phase, because that's just the zeitgeist.
But Brian Jones died at 27 as well.
Brian Jones, 27
as well. That's right.
But there's an audiobook, since it's Halloween, if you mind if I plug it, it's called Take a Walk on the Dark Side, Rock and Roll Myths, Legends, and Curses, and there's one chapter dedicated to everybody who died at 27.
Crazy, man.
Now, Buddy Holly was 24.
I got to tell you, if my son's in a band on his 27th birthday, I'm going to be right there with him.
Lock him down.
Off the road.
I'm going to have a couple of pops before I just slap that shit out of your hand. No, I'm not going to find you in the swimming pool tonight. You make it to 28 and you do whatever you want. I'll bring over a tub of bath salts when you're 28, but not now. 27 is a clean one.
Why is your dad in the green room?
I'm getting fentanyl from China. When you're 28, we're going to celebrate, but not now. We're making it through 27. Sorry. All right, should we play some news or do some news?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, another sexual assault case against Kevin Spacey has been dropped. Since the accuser, a massage therapist, is now deceased, the L.A. County District Attorney's Office says the matter is closed. The man who was never identified claimed
now,
that Spacey
he's brought up on murder charges.
tried to kiss him and forced him to grab his genitals during a session in Malibu in October of 2016. The actor was never charged in the alleged incident. The accuser died of cancer last month, so that is a closed matter.
How old was he? And then also, I don't know. I don't know the part where people try to kiss people. I don't know. Can we just keep walking? Like, just that person
tried
to kiss me. The person that just slapped the guy's hand out or whatever.
Call him a cad.
Need a little element of, there has to be a kind of an element in life where, you know, if you get T-boned by a drunk driver and confined to a wheelchair, by all means, lawyer up. But if you just get tapped in the rear end of the 405, pardon the Spacey fund.
I have a tendency to agree with you, but, you know, you do that enough times and the piper is going to be paid. And I'm happy for the justice system that way.
You've been around. You've seen enough, right? It's all coming around.
I do think it has, in some cases, gone a little bit too far.
No, I'm saying that. I just mean, like, put his hand on my thigh or tried to whatever. I don't know. That's the Cuba Gooding Jr.
Well, you know what it's actually
get
called?
Out of there.
It's called common courtesy.
Right.
The way, you know, you're supposed to treat people. That's all the rules are. They're actually just common courtesy.
I know, but I think some people get drunk and they lose their boundaries. Like, next thing you know, you're talking to Justin Bieber or Craig.
Dragon,
your
about your record,
neither of us touched each other.
But didn't the Spacey thing happen?
That's where alcohol maybe is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Didn't the Spacey thing happen? He was getting a massage?
Yes.
So he wasn't drunk.
I don't know.
You ever had a drunk massage?
Right.
I've got
in the shower, right?
I've got
shower
four beers? Cruises with you, Brian. You
true. I've only been drunk for half of those massages.
Right.
How do we get invited on the cruise?
Oh, my God. Come one, come all. They're
play
so fun. We do them every year.
They do a Corolla cruise.
The Corolla cruise.
Oh, yeah.
It's
really fun.
Podcast the entire time. Every room's just podcasting.
Piping it in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he'll be missed, whoever he is.
The landscape of college sports is about to change significantly now that the NCAA has voted to allow student-athletes to profit from their likenesses. The association's Board of Governors vote Tuesday says that players will be able to accept endorsement deals. There will be some conditions, mainly that the new rules don't undermine the NCAA's educational mission and that they don't result in certain schools gaining an unfair advantage. The vote doesn't actually change any rules. It simply lays out guidelines for the governing board to draw up specific rules.
Well, if you're a blue chip at prospect and you got a choice between going to Arizona State or USC or UCLA, but you find out one really kicks ass in the merch department,
sure.
Like,
mm-hmm.
moves a lot of jerseys, and you're the next Reggie Bush, don't you tend to, does that sway you a little bit?
100%. That's a huge advantage.
Yeah.
It's human nature.
I'm all for it. I'm all for those guys getting paid. I mean, they're already in like, so prevalent. It's been going on for decades. You know, in the back office, they get a free car for this or that.
Oh, when you
know, where they're in college and all this stuff, but they're still getting taken.
But the thing about these athletes, especially when you're talking about a guy like Reggie Bush, mm-hmm. what's really his earning window? You know what I mean? I mean, the guy was out of the NFL at 27, 28.
Yeah,
like,
whatever it was.
Played 5 years, whatever. Hurt himself. Lawsuit.
A little longer than that, but yeah. But I think I had like an 8-year career, but yeah, that's it. Yeah.
You could actually make a case that his his best time as far as profitability were his college years. College.
18 yeah. to 22.
And yeah. if you get injured during those years of college, that's it. There's no backup plan.
He had a lawsuit against a stadium for putting the slippery track too close to the edge.
I'm going
to
take that back. He was
field.
With the 49ers. I don't know if it was the 49ers stadium, but yes, the slippery, like, you know, the stuff that goes up against the wall, he was running out of bounds and it was too close and he slipped on it and tore his ACL or something like that.
Yes. Anyway, yeah. So
effectively ended his career.
When did Reggie Bush, how old was Reggie Bush when he left the NFL? And the point is could you imagine if your earning career stopped before 30? I mean, you know, there's lawsuits and endorsements and get up to the booth. But I mean, mm-hmm. really, that's your career. Like, imagine if you're a comedian or an actor and you right. stop getting checks yeah. after the age of
yeah, you can't do this anymore.
Right.
He probably played 8 or 9 years. He played from 2006 for sure until 2015?
2016.
Well, he was with the Saints 10 years. For, what, 5 years? Something?
Yeah, what happens is these guys end up on a team and you don't hear about them the last two seasons.
He bounced
They're
around
in the league and they kind of forget that OJ ended his career with the Niners.
Same with Reggie.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Two mm-hmm. USC greats.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of football, Odell Beckham Jr. presented Tom Brady with a very thoughtful gift after the Cleveland Browns visited the Patriots on Sunday. And one particular Photoshop meme of this exchange had some gullible fans thinking, Brady, toss that gift in the trash. I'm going to show you the video right now. So he's shaking hands after the game. He's talking to everyone. He gives them something. And toss
it.
A guy happens to be walking by. Now, a lot of people did not see that it was fake. Beckham gave Brady a pair of goat hair cleats, which is a reference to Brady being the greatest of all time. Brady said in a radio interview he appreciated it, but a Photoshop from Barstool Sports depicted him throwing the cleats into a garbage can as a dude was walking by. Many responses to the video indicated that people were duped by this video. But Brady wants to make sure people know it was fake. He has nothing but respect for Beckham.
Can we, we've talked about this, you know, you have the hero or the goat, you know, mm-hmm. the guy, well, he kicks the field goal, he's the hero, or
yeah,
he misses
goat,
it, he's
the goat. You were the scapegoat.
Got to do something better than goat. There are too many years of goat, meaning you screwed the pooch and lost the game. Now yeah. it's, you're yeah, the best player
that goes,
ever.
Yeah. That goes back to the Cubs, right? Or was the Cubs or boss that he used to bring his goat,
right.
and they threw him out, and he said, well, put a curse on, you'll never win
another series. I always thought about that because it was just a shabby animal, like, you're a goat, but now...
yeah. Greatest of all time. I feel like, where'd that come from, hip-hop?
It started, I think, in my knowledge, I was presented... with some apparel mm-hmm. and snack mixing or something by some representative of Muhammad Ali.
Oh.
And they called it goat, you know, you go. Goat trail mix mm-hmm. and goat sweat jackets. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, goat? Why? He's not a goat. Yeah. He's Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. And then they broke it down. So maybe somebody did it before that, but that's what I kind of remember.
Yeah. You made a transition. At one point,
that's the origin.
You were Bill Buckner. You know what I mean? You were,
right.
You were the goat. You lost the game.
And then the goat must have been the goat from the Chicago, from the Cubs thing. And there was a curse of a goat. You guys
yes,
remember that?
Yes, there was the curse of the goat. That's it. It was either the Cubs or Boston.
It was Chicago. They wouldn't allow the goat into the
but
stadium.
He would bring his goat to every game.
Right.
The differentiation is the periods in between the letters.
Yeah, the acronym.
That's it. Right. Then he got a note from his doctor saying it was a service goat.
Yes.
And he was able to bring it on the plane. It was a biplane. Propeller driven.
Yes.
Sorry.
As long as you buy him a
canvas over the wings, but he was able to travel. Sorry.
Well, Good Housekeeping Magazine, of all places, just posted an online feature on the 17 best movie songs of all time.
Hold on. They still have Good Housekeeping Magazine?
Indeed, they do.
We're getting great write-ups there.
And it's just as solid as forever, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't.
As
I'd like
is the way you remember it.
I would like to bring that home and see if anyone opened it. Mm. I don't feel like it would. I don't feel like anyone in my house. Housekeeping is not even a. I don't even know if it's things that people do anymore.
Yeah, you don't call yourself a homemaker really
housekeeper.
Anymore.
No, my wife did let the maids in this morning, so I suppose that is a way of housekeeping. And she does know where the vacuum robot is kept.
Well,
so
yeah, they have the articles like how to hire good help.
Right.
It's retitled How to Hire Good Housekeeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last thing I saw before etiquette, I left my
etiquette
house was
with, etiquette with your gardener.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it's about. So I'm going to rattle some of these off to you.
I'm excited to see what these
are. Would you like, would you want me to rattle off the top 10?
Yes. Am I
curious. Like, I want to know what kind of articles, like Fabrice, friend or foe? Oh, let's find out what this is all about.
80,000 things to do with lemon juice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start from 10.
This
and
is gonna suck.
This is what they got. Number 10, Unchained Melody from Ghost.
Weren't you supposed to
that was a hit
movie?
20 years earlier.
He was supposed to be in that movie. That could have been his song.
What?
No?
No.
No. They went
no.
the other way.
No. You are 100% wrong.
They got
about
the other
that.
Guy from Houston.
I hate this one.
You're going to hate this one.
Oh, hey, Dennis. I don't want to tell you how to live your life, but if there's ever a movie that ever comes up that you weren't in, you just say, I was supposed to be in that. I turn it down. And yes. No one's going to go, you're a fucking liar, sack of shit, bullshit. Any movie, whatever, you pick it, Die Hard.
That's right.
You just go, Die Hard. Die Hard. Yeah, I'm supposed to do that.
Shawshank Redemption.
Most
turn
of them were before the internet anyway. Who's to know, right?
Turn Jaws
you know what movie
out.
I was just thinking about?
Turn
Precious.
It down.
Precious.
Turn it down. I turned it down. The Jazz Singer. Turn it down. That's from 1922. Turn it down.
I love Big. Black Panther.
Turn it down. Turn it down. Everyone will believe you. Everyone will believe you. Look. Just say it. Every film. Whatever it is.
Turn it
good.
Down.
Just say it. Turn
Gone
it down.
Gone with the Wind.
Turn
yeah,
it down.
Exactly.
Turn it down.
Hoop Dreams.
That's right. Scott.
Turn it down.
Turn it down. Supposed to play 16-year-old Richie Valens. I turn that shit down. I turn it down. I can play the guitar, but
Goonies.
I turn it down. Goonies. Turn it down.
Smart.
Yeah.
Went to Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead. Personal best. Lesbian long distance runners. I was supposed to be one of them. I, Dennis, turned it down. Just say turn it down. Doesn't matter what
actually,
I remember.
Actually, I think I did turn that down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You turned down personal best?
I think it was actually, I had another job.
What was the role? That must have been 1980 something.
Yeah, 1982.
Oh, and don't contain it to just movies. Like if a guy introduced you to his fiance, go, turn her down. She wanted to blow me 3 days ago. I said no.
But
everything.
Careful.
Tell me this podcast was yours.
Careful.
But you let me do it. 11 years
for the record,
ago.
I've never turned anything down. I work on a show called Second Chance Chihuahua. I did the theme for that. Anything, I say yes.
I love New Jack City.
Turn it down.
No,
Wesley. It was you or Wesley.
What is, what year was personal best?
82.
Yeah. What did Dennis do? What seven movies did Dennis do in 82? They didn't turn it down. Because there must have been.
Was that Enemy Mine?
Yes, I think it was.
Oof. That's a good pull right there.
Yeah, that's
good
pull. No, no. It was The Right Stuff and then Enemy Mine, all during this. Okay. Yeah.
So they personal best, like they needed the role of the track coach.
Yes.
Or the dean.
I think Scott Glenn wound up playing the role.
So you turned down personal best, my random lesbian movie that I brought up as a joke.
Yes.
Do you see why you have to do this?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are you doing it now?
No.
Because this is what I told you to do.
You can trust me.
Well, that's what you would say. That's what you would say.
All of America does. It's
smart
at
to
least
bring up
right
Scott
now.
Glenn. Scott Glenn. Wait a minute. Was he in Personal Best? Who's a coach in Personal Best? It's a Mariel Hemingway and
Scott
I don't
Glenn.
Know. Turn it down. See, do it. Everything.
Turned it down.
Everything. Every movie and even manufacturing. Like, hey, you seen the new Airbus 380? I turned it down. They wanted me to build it, but I said no. Too busy. It's good. It's good. Sorry.
Champagne problems.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes.
Well, while Chris looks for that, Brian, grab a paper bag and breathe
personal
into it. You're going to hate
this
list.
I don't like this at all.
Okay.
So far it's Ghost.
Maxipata has questions.
Wait, what else am I looking
for? Well, this
personal
is
best.
This is going to take 15 hours to the rate we're going.
What else about it? We got
this is a big
what
list.
Else? What I was asking about? Who played the coach?
Oh, Scott Glenn.
Okay, well, I don't know. I want you to look up the IMDb.
I took Dennis's role. I turned the role down. Don't you think I would know?
I'm just finding. Tell me who the coach. You're the coach.
Please tell me Kenny Loggins is on that list a few times.
Hold on.
Okay.
Dennis, were you up for Gandhi? Were you up for Gandhi?
For the role of Gandhi.
No, I was not offended.
Oh, no, come on.
Come on. Down. Play along. Turn,
even
turn
the, it, even the Martin Sheen shot, role, I was not.
The Shining?
The Shining, no.
Turn it down.
No. Wasn't a place for me.
The Terminator?
Actually, the Terminator really wanted.
A chorus line.
You turned it down. Right?
No, I didn't turn that one down.
Yeah.
Elle McPherson, I was this close. When she was 23.
I was this close to getting it and turning it down.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry, Scott Glenn played Terry. Can you read that from there?
Trigloff?
Tingloff. Tingloff.
Tingloff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
The coach, I guess.
All right. We just done the right stuff together, and
so random that you turned down that movie. All right, sorry.
I'm going to take you through this list. So number nine.
Oh wait, projects you were you're doing during personal best filming.
It sounds to me like you weren't even paying attention to the Scott Glenn role there.
The right stuff. Not interested. In Jaws 3D. Tough Enough. What's
Jim I don't know Bill
end up. Bill, I don't know.
Johnny Belinda's with Roseanne Arquette.
Roseanne Arquette.
Yeah. Oh. Who's in the podcast
who's
too
in
with
the
us.
Podcast.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they're full circle. And Stripes.
Stripes. I'm not really in Stripes. You know, that's really interesting because my wife at the time, PJ Souls, is in that. He plays Bill Murray's girlfriend. And I was just happened to go and visit the set, and they caught me on camera during one of Bill Murray's, you know, 1,000-foot role on the film can improvisations, mm-hmm. and so they had to give me a credit.
Wow. Stripes, you knew.
Jaws 3D, I loved
it.
I was eight, and I saw that in the theater with my mom. I love that movie.
Stripes, uncredited. No, uncredited, but it says I'm in it.
Jaws 3D should have turned it down. We can also do two categories here.
I actually did turn that movie down, but they put me in there anyway.
The Stripes, good trivia for you when you're trying to, like I would tell people.
Happens to be my kid, 7 years old and younger, their favorite movie, by the way.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Stripes, you could fool any film buff if you talked to them about Dennis Quaid in Stripes, yeah. in the movie Stripes.
That's obscure.
All right, sorry, keep going.
Number nine, I Say a Little Prayer, My Best Friend's Wedding. Number eight, Take My Breath Away, Top Gun.
Yeah, I'm okay with that one.
Number seven, In Your Eyes.
At least it's written for the movie. Right. These are all hits from 20 years before.
I know. Say Anything, In Your Eyes. Number six, Maniac, Flashdance.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, Brian Easy, I've Had the Time of My Life, Dirty Dancing.
Love that.
Number four, Eye of the Tiger, down. Rocky III. Mm-hmm. Number three, Kiss Me from She's All That.
Yeah.
Number two,
no.
Staying Alive, Saturday Night Fever. Any guesses? Number one fan favorite song from a movie.
Oh.
You won't be surprised when I tell you.
So we started with Unchained Melody.
Yeah. Number 10.
And now these are songs that...
Footloose.
Unchained Melody existed. And then... Some of these were written for the movie.
And some were made more popular by the movie.
But there's new stuff like Shallow. Like,
that's number 17.
Okay.
If there's any justice, it'll be Flashdance.
That was already on there. Maybe.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
Flashdance.
Yes.
Just
song.
A Steel Town girl on a Saturday night.
I don't know.
No, What a Feeling. That's the song.
Gotcha.
Is it the song from Over the Top, Meet Me Halfway, Kenny Loggins?
That's a great
song. That would be amazing in that movie.
Halfway.
Please tell me you turn that roll down.
Oh, which hold one? On.
We got to bring that back.
Over
the
Top.
Top Gun, Playing with the Boys.
Never even heard Kenny Loggins.
I'm going Playing with the Boys.
Okay.
It's very homoerotic.
Playing with the Boys.
Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Close. Well, not really. I actually didn't make the list, shockingly enough. Number one. From The Breakfast Club, Don't You Forget About Me.
Oh, no. Dennis turned down Wizard of Oz, by the way.
Yeah. And Breakfast Club.
As Glinda.
And Breakfast The Estevez part.
Could you know all about films. If Dennis just said turn down to any film, you couldn't argue with him and you'd have no reference points.
No, of course. If it was any film between 1980 and today, and just, I turn that down, I'd be like, yeah, it's plausible.
You have to believe it.
I have no choice. But
you've been in so many things. It's crazy because when we meet people, it's always different when people go, oh, I loved you in blank.
Oh, yeah.
You'll meet like a younger person like, oh, I loved you in Parent Trap. Or someone's like, oh, I love. It's the strangest thing because it is different. Most people when they meet like, one, you know, Lady Gaga, oh, I love you in that movie.
That's because I'm older. I've got a multi-generational thing going.
Does anyone ever say you're in my favorite Funny or Die video of all time?
No.
Because
Did you just say that? Oh, thank you very much.
The best one of all
very
time.
Very complimented. Thank
Which
you.
Which one is it?
The
was,
one
it was
where,
such a great hoax.
Oh, we
it
have
was,
a it was a lo-
pit.
The
perfectly
long con.
Executed.
It, it was
hoax.
Reported.
Long con.
So many outlets reported it as Dennis Quaid had an on-set meltdown. We have the footage. We talked about it.
Right.
And we said, we don't know if it's true. We don't know what's happening, but here's the footage. And
one
then
of us knew.
Much later, coming out, it was all very, very literal. Mm. And it was very fucking funny.
Yeah, they released it as a sound recording that one of the crew members had.
Yes,
had,
exactly.
Sort, yeah.
Found footage.
Yeah.
Here's a clip.
And then this is what
Looks
actually
good.
We were.
Looks good. Looks good.
Was this a Super Bowl spot?
I'm going to tell them everything I know. Absolutely everything.
Guy in a penis costume.
Yeah, that's a guy in a penis costume. Just wanders onto the set.
I'm going to tell them everything that I know. Absolutely everything. I am risking my life. I am risking... What the fuck?
Sorry, Dennis. Let's keep going.
What the fuck? Keep going. I am acting here and this dickhead wanders onto my set. I can't even get a line out and Dopey the dick here is whispering in your ear and you're not even watching anymore.
Dennis.
Don't you fucking Dennis me. I am doing my job here. I am a pro. This is the most unprofessional set I've ever been on. This is horseshit.
This is the literal version that came out after.
I have to look good. At. I've got a bunch of pussies staring at me.
You kidding?
And this fucking baby.
Fuck you, Quaid.
This is garbage.
Dennis, wait. We can talk it out.
Blow me.
It's just great.
Yeah, you got to watch it. Watch the first part first, and then this part second. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I always talk about Breaking Away because I just goddamn love that movie, and I love Tom Dooley in it.
Oh.
I was talking about before you got here, but man,
Paul Dooley.
Yeah, no
Paul
kidding.
Dooley. Tom Dooley's the.
I just
hang down with, your head.
I
or
just
something,
he
Tom
just
Dooley.
Played my father-in-law on this Netflix series that Merry Happy Whatever.
Paul
Dooley.
Paul Dooley.
Love him, love him.
How
love him.
Old is Paul Dooley?
He's in his 80s.
Wow, that's
he's still
awesome.
Doing great, man.
God, underrated comedic actor.
Such a funny guy.
Such
he
a,
was the best thing really in Breaking Away.
That movie was so
refund.
Refund.
That refund.
That whole movie, every scene he was in Breaking Away was funny.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Yeah.
The used car lot stuff was funny. When he was cheering you guys on, watching the TV, it was funny. He was at home with his wife. It was funny. Like, everything that guy did was great in that movie. That I love that movie so much, but he was just hysterical in it. It bothers me sometimes when movies are legitimately funny start to finish, but just because there's some sports and some pathos in it, they don't get counted as comedies. Mm-hmm. That was a funny comedy that had all the heart and everything else in it.
Yeah,
as well.
I guess they started calling them dramedies or
right.
whatever. But that, it really had, Peter Yates being the director, who is English, and the screenplay was written by a first-generation Czechoslovakian, back when he used to have Czechoslovakia.
Right.
And so I think they had a point of view about America that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why it has the charm that it has.
Interesting, because it's got the whole Euro flavor with the Cinzano mm-hmm. race team and the boy basically gets his heart. The Cinzano race team is coming to Indiana and they're going to race and he's over the moon about it. And then they end up jacking him over and he kind of hits bottom. And God, I just love that. But Dooley, I'm great. Great that the guy is still out there and still working.
Sharp as ever. And he plays my father-in-law. So he's going to be coming back.
Dooley's 91 crazy. Years old.
Damn.
Wow.
That's great.
Jesus Christ. All right, let me hit. Steve, is it, how do you say, how do we pronounce, written by Steve Tisich?
Tisich.
Yeah. One best original screenplay. God,
yes.
It was such a good movie. You guys,
whoa.
Go watch that movie if you haven't seen it. Or get reacquainted with
Barbara
it if you
Barry
have.
Barbara Barry won Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, she was the mom. She was great. It's quietly a fantastic film. All right, let me hit Geico. Everyone's got the to-do list. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance at Geico? You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. You take that extra money, put it in your pocket, be the best thing you do all day at Geico. That is geico.com. See if you can, Max Pat, see if there's any Paul Dooley scenes from that that are floating around the internet.
The moment that he and his wife are going to, fool around after, maybe who knows how long it's been. Him taking his pen protector out of his pocket in a romantic gesture.
So funny. It's like this, he pulls his pocket protector out in a super sensual way.
Lothario.
With the Italian opera playing in the background. Like, it's just every beat. Man, that movie doesn't have any bad scenes or dumb scenes or who needs that scenes. Like, it was so well done. God damn. All right, sorry. Let's do one more.
All right. Well, a middle school in Lancaster, California, made national headlines on Wednesday after it accidentally printed a sex hotline telephone number on all student ID cards in place of the suicide prevention hotline number. It's unclear how the mistake was discovered.
A second. They do. Everyone says if these guys got laid, they wouldn't be shooting up the schools
Maybe
or shooting up themselves, right?
Yeah. Apparently, two of the digits were transposed and. That's what led to the mix-up. Teachers have collected the IDs.
Led to a Bambi alert.
They said in a statement they are very sorry for this error, and they are working to correct it.
Huh. You got to forgive them for that. That's innocent.
That's great.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yes.
The world needs that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good on you, Lancaster.
The right place.
That's oops.
Any breaking away clips at all? Internet's weird. I never know if there's a bunch of stuff
there's
or nothing.
Some, but we're just trying to look for the one that Dennis mentioned.
So. That's all. There's no. It's a great scene, but there's no dialogue in it. I like the one where he's talking to the cat, telling him his name is Jake, not Fellini.
Yeah.
And he's tired of all the eenies.
Them's my french fries.
Right.
There it is. French fries. All right, we have that right here.
All right, we'll play.
Sauteed zucchini.
It's ID food. I don't want no ID food.
Italian.
It's not. I got it at the A&P. It's like squash.
I know ID food when I hear it. It's all them eenie foods. Zucchini and linguine and fettuccine. I want some American food, damn it. I want french fries.
All right, you got to find a non-echoey version of that. But then his cat was named Fellini. Your name's Jake. I named him. My cat. Call him Jake's, not Fellini.
As I mentioned, he was great in 16 Candles. Dennis, were you up for 16 Candles?
No.
Come on, Dennis,
I'm going to give it to you straight. Okay, I will give it to you straight. It's a matter of trust.
Turn down Molly Ringwald.
Straight. And we want the part where you say you turned everything down.
Were you up for 16 Candles?
But I don't know what agenda you have going on here.
All right. It's your career. Whatever. You know what?
It's your legacy.
I have values.
Good luck. Let the baby have his bottles, what I say. Have fun with your podcast. You could have been in all the great movies, but you've chosen not to.
You could have almost been in all the great movies.
You could have led America to believe you're everything.
That would have that Lifetime Achievement Award, but whatever.
Could have been Long Duck Dong.
There we are. All right. The podcast, Bear and a Banjo, new episodes Thursdays on Apple Podcasts as well. Last but not least, the Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing three times.
Right on.
Stronger than leading full synthetic. It is good stuff. It is Castrol Edge. Edge formulated in ways to exceed the toughest industry standards. It's the best. It is Castrol Edge. Edge.
Right on.
Right on. Wow. All right.
Does that qualify as an endorsement that I need to be?
Yeah, because he gets paid for that, man. I see him on commercials. Laughs with Paul Bryan coming up this Saturday. Got to be 5 tickets left.
There's literally 6 VIP tickets left.
Oh, all right. Well, jump on it, people, because it's going to sell out.
And a cool announcement, by the way. The auction ended today at noon. $6,650 someone bid to do this
to
job.
To do your job.
That's great. All going to charity. Thank you guys so much for auctioning. Yes, going to Stupid Cancer. So we'll see you in a little while, I guess.
No Safe Spaces rolling out in Denver and San Diego this weekend. So
I've got
get
a song
those tickets.
That.
Oh, yeah. So go to nosafespaces.com. That's right. In early on that. Crank Yankers is back on, and AdamCarolla.com is where you go for all the live shows. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dennis Quaid and Jared Goodstand, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo. I have a carbuncle on my anus.
Today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Damashek and Adam Carolla is coming up next. Carolla Drinks congratulates El Coyote Cafe, the 2019 world champion of guacamole. Visit them online at elcoyotecafe.com. El Coyote, the world champion of guacamole. Special thanks to Everride. Check out the debut EP from Everride, November 1st. Technical support courtesy of JBL and Champion Sight and Sound. Catering at the World Championship of Guacamole provided by Mamey's Cooking and Javier's Tacos. Congratulations to El Coyote Cafe in Los Angeles, the 2019 World Champion of Guacamole. For more, follow at Official WCOG and get ready for the 2020 World Championship of Guacamole.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good Sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans, and happy Halloween from Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, it is All Hallows Eve. Or no, wait. Is that it? Is it All Hallows Eve or is it Devil's Eve?
Familiar.
Did you? I bet. Well, I can't believe I would even consider wasting the breath to ask the question. Did you and Ray and Boehm and the fellas growing up, did you used to participate heavily in Devil's Eve? Or was that amateur night for you scoundrels?
We would go out and party pretty good on Halloween. I, of course, remember when the year I went as Mr. T, I remember Halloween fell on like a Sunday or something like that. We were able to party Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Like I got like a 3-day wearing out of my mohawk. So we would go out and raise hell, but we didn't have that thing that they have in a lot of places where they go out and raise hell the night before. I think it's more of an East Coast or Midwest kind of thing.
Oh, is that right?
It's not a California thing.
It was also definitely not a Jew kind of stuff too, because the Damashek house wasn't on the receiving end very much of the egging. But I don't remember getting any offers from the Goyim. Hey, come out with us. We got some rotten eggs and some toilet paper and some nasty intentions.
I like the countries that to this day have their like fire festivals. It's like, I don't know, Spain or Mexico or wherever. It's like they go out and they take balls of fire and chuck it at each other out in the street, and it's just completely sanctioned by the government. Who has the fire, not the fire festival, the concert, but it's like Festival of Fire, the Fuego Festival or something, where you actually see footage of just guys in the street just chucking balls of fire at each other.
I mean, obviously, that's way too much for me. I don't even like when we see those allegedly charming videos from the town in Italy with the tomato festival, and just everything is about them hitting each other with tomatoes, and then they're all red.
Salvador.
What would be fun about any of that?
Fireball festival. El Salvador, this check. I told you I wanted to move to Pamplona, Spain, though, right? Was I talking about that with you?
Because
they have the running of the bulls every year.
Yeah.
And then every time I got pulled over, you know, by a cop for going 44 and a 35, he'd go, you know how dangerous it is for you to go 10 miles an hour? You know, we're in a school zone. I'd go, dangerous, huh? More dangerous than the 2,000-pound angry bulls running down the main boulevard and tourists running from the line? More dangerous than that? Because that's coming up.
It's a lawless society.
How dare
society.
You get out your pen and try to write me a ticket in a place where we just have bulls running through the city and folks running in front of them for their life?
Excuse me, senor. You can get back. Perhaps you think you're in Mount Pius. You're not. You're in Pamplona.
I rolled through a four-way stop sign. And you're going to write me a ticket because it was dangerous what I just did? I have galvanized steel around me and three airbags. What do you think these guys have? A wisp of fabric around their waist and they're running from 2,000-pound bulls. So you think that's fine?
Oh, I see. I'm arrested for assault, but it was okay when people threw balls of fire at me a couple months ago? That's okay?
I feel like El Salvador, look, I don't know if I'd want to live there full time, but I like the notion of getting of a society where I get pulled over and I just include a 20 with my wallet and I get an escort home.
I always fear like I'm not one of those guys who knows exactly like the adult, the grown up male move. Has any woman? I've never seen a woman grease the maitre d'. You know, have you ever seen anybody do that? Like, how about we get the good booth there? Okay,
no.
Martha, I've never seen a woman pull that move.
I don't feel there is that.
And would you rather be, because you brought up the running of the bulls, you have to do, let's do win place show.
Okay.
Would you like to do run with the bulls? What's the most dangerous bullfighting event thing is when you ride the bucking bull? Is that worse than the horse, though? Because the horse would be scary. I'd be more afraid of the horse because them hooves might kick me in the head once he dumps me.
I think you get a little more height on the horse. So if you go full Christopher Reeves, you land on your head. That's not a good one. But once you're on the ground, the horse doesn't try to kill you.
The bull, yeah, if he steps on you once, even by accident,
he tries to gore you with that horn.
And then that's option number three, bullfighting. You have to get in there with the sword, and you have to survive. Which win place show would you least want to do because of your desire to continue to exist on the planet Earth?
I think if you're running with the bulls in your first wave and the bulls are actually running past you, you're in it. That sounds scary to me. A lot of cobblestone, a lot of bulls, a lot of horns. The bucking.
It seems like you can, the people who run with the bulls, but then don't fully participate in it are having it both ways. They want to come home and brag to their pals. I ran with the bulls, but from what I've been able to pick up watching people do it, you can hide yourself kind of like if you really want to run with the bull next year, like, ha ha, memory for a lifetime. But you can also stick off to the side and get credit for having done it.
And you can also be 100 yards ahead of them with many other human beings. I got to tell you, bull riding ruined for me when they started putting the women's field hockey helmet on, you know?
Yeah.
They started putting the helmet with the cage on it and the flak jacket.
Same for me in hockey. Let me interrupt you quickly to tell you about the to-do list that we all have. Whatever's on yours might be different from mine, but everybody's got one. It might include drop-off dry cleaning, pick up milk, pick up some delicious fun-sized treats for Halloween to give out to the kids in the neighborhood. Why they're called fun-size is obvious, but I'm not a sucker, and I'm not falling prey to the man's game of calling it fun-size, which is actually, it should be mini size, except they wouldn't sell as well. Anyway, you can add to the to-do list, save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to pick up or drop off anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. You want some extra money in your pocket? Of course you do, because that's the most rewarding to-do you'll do today. It's Geico. I'm sorry for that interruption, Ace. Now continue.
I'm going to go bullfight. Did you see the DB and the NFL jumping over the bull footage?
Yes, Josh Norman did that.
Is that Josh Norman?
Yes.
Wait a minute, he's a wideout, right?
No, he's the DB who got into the fight with Odell Beckham. That's probably the most famous thing he did.
That's the craziest footage ever, right?
It's wild, yes. It's amazing.
He runs right at the bull and jumps over him.
Yeah, I saw that. It's not as good as I saw in the trailer for the new Star Wars. Rey runs and she jumps over a TIE fighter. But still, this is pretty good, too.
What's phonier in...
Look at that.
He just
That's
jumps
crazy.
Right over the...
I haven't seen that wide shot of it. That will make... For some reason, that is even more remarkable when you see all the humans around him. Sheesh.
Yeah. But, I mean, to be fair to Josh Norman, you know, growing up south side of Chicago, probably jumped over a lot of bulls as a youth, you know, and got a flavor for it. Well, Chicago Bulls.
I was where just about
grow,
to say.
Where did he grow up? God, I hope it's the south side of Chicago.
I think it's in, he lives now, oh, he was on the Carolina Panthers a while ago. I think he's from the Carolinas because he's into cowboying. And stuff. He actually has horses and a ranch and everything.
South Carolina.
Let me ask you this, Sheck. I haven't talked to you about this. I don't like it. I don't like the incidental contact down on the ground by incidental contact or by contact down on the ground. Was I talking to you about this? I don't. When the other week, when my Ram, what's his name? Aaron Donald, when he strip sacked Natty Light, and the ball just fell out. Like Natty Light just kind of like flopped on it, and Aaron Donald just pulled it out and got up and run. Like they made contact because he touched him because he reached under his belly and grabbed the ball. Like, all right, but Natty Light didn't touch him down or tackle
That's
him or do anything.
It's the same thing in baseball. The fact that you collide with him is not enough. The catcher has to whoever has to put the glove on you to put you out. You should have to willfully touch the guy down just because you happen to bump shoulders on the way to the ground shouldn't be enough. I'm with you about that.
Why? It flies in this. It does away with the spirit of the game. It's like you made contact while on the ground, but it was incidental and it wasn't intentional. So there was no tackling or touching down. There was a quarterback who just splayed out on his belly.
I agree.
And you had to touch him. I mean, look at this play. You had to touch him to take the ball out. And by the way, I don't even know if you had control of the ball the way it worked. You just pulled the ball out. It's not like Matt Ryan did anything other than give up the ball and lay on his belly.
That's it happened in it happened on Monday Night Football too to Ryan Fitzpatrick. T.J. Watt stripped them as they were going to the ground and rolled over. Ryan Fitzpatrick was hoping he didn't get knocked out cold. He wasn't trying to take T.J. Watt down or anything.
Yeah, the ball's out and he makes no attempt to touch him. Why not? That's an exciting take it to the house kind of play. The ball's out. The ball's rolling around.
Matt Ryan's elbow touches barely Aaron Donald's head.
I don't know that Aaron has doesn't even have control of the ball, though. That's my argument would be your argument. According to the rules, he never has control of it until he's away from Ryan, who never makes an attempt to touch him. Why are we just blowing that dead?
I'm with you. I like your rules change.
All right. I like this rule. Teencounseling.com. If you have a 13 to 19 year old and you want to hook them up with a licensed professional counselor, and you do it where they spend all their time on their smartphone, they don't have to go anywhere. They just pick up the phone, which is what they're looking at anyway, and they start getting some counseling. It starts with a short questionnaire, help them understand your teen and their needs. Then you're matched with an available therapist to start communicating within 24 hours. You can review their credentials, directly communicate with them, and make sure it's a good fit. And it's easy and free to change counselors if needed. So it's more affordable than traditional counseling, and financial aid is available. Visit teencounseling.com/Adam. Help your teen take charge of their mental health. So much going on in your teen's world, man. It's not like the old days when we were growing up, getting walnuts for Halloween. You go to Adam Carolla Show, by the way. Adam Carolla Show listeners get 10% off the first month at teencounseling.com/Adam.
You talk about attacks. Giving walnuts to trick-or-treaters is an attack. May you get no walnuts, nor raisins, nor anything else other than some good sweet treats as you hit the streets tonight. We'll be back with the Friday episode of Good Sports for you. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, one more thing, Ace. Do you know the Chicago Bulls logo? It has the bull has blood on the tips of his horns.
No.
Look closely at that. Anyway, we'll get into more hot sports takes like that one tomorrow. Until then, good sports out.
good sport.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give us a thumbs up on Facebook at Adam Carolla. And leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mandry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com.